Anyway, our study is going to continue in 1 Peter, starting at verse 17 to 25. Anyway, the title of this lesson tonight is Be Sober, Fear God. No drinking allowed. Anyway, let's go ahead and open with prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for another wonderful and beautiful day, Father, that you have given us. We thank you for the many blessings, Father, of this day. For each and every one of us cannot deny, Father, that you have blessed us and blessed us immensely. So, Father, tonight as we come before you, I pray that you will open up our hearts, our ears, and our minds, Father, to learn from you, to know more about you, and to seek your face, Father, because you have said, if we will seek your face with all our heart, we will be found by you. We will find you, Father. So we just thank you, and we give you praise for what we are about to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. So you remember last week, we got into in verse 13 through 15 and got there about teaching about holiness. And there was three things that were very obvious in this that Peter told the Gentiles who were being scattered here to prepare your minds for action. And he warned them not to go back to where they were. Okay? It kind of leads towards the part, well, maybe some of the Christians went back to their old self, their old ways. So we don't know how long these Gentiles or these Christians had been in those areas. So they were giving up businesses and farms and families and everything, and they were being scattered by God. So Peter's telling them not to go back. And he's telling them, in the last part of that, he's telling them the only way that you can overcome this is by holiness, through holiness, being holy. And what he's doing is he's laying out a battle. He's showing them that they're going to be in a battle. You're going to be in a fight, whether to maintain your Christianity and follow Christ or to go back to your old ways. And that's what Peter's talking. He's actually drawing a line and telling the Gentiles, don't go back. Don't go back to your former ways. Remember, I told you that from here on out, all the encouragement that we're going to receive is going to be about holiness. That's going to be the theme of the rest of this letter, is about holiness. And Peter is going to, and now he's going to start showing us God's battle plan on how to overcome those desires to go back to where we were at, to overcome them, to overcome Satan. So as we get into this, please pay attention to what is being said. I'm going to read verses 17 to 25. Everyone there? If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver and gold from your futile ways of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, and raised him from the dead, and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love for the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not as of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring word of God. All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. So what we're seeing here is in the first part, it was holiness. Peter was telling them that it was through holiness that you're going to be overcome all these temptations to turn back to your old selves. So now Peter lays out the battle plan for them, and he's telling them that the first step is to fear God. And that's what he's telling us in verse 17. Do you guys understand the fear of God? Do you fully understand it? Yeah. It's an awe or a reverence. It's not cowardly. Not cowardly at all. It's a form of worship, if you think about it. You'll see this as we get into the scriptures. So let's go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians 7:1. If you remember, that was our last week's encouragement for practice. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Okay. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So you see, this is how the fear begins. He's leaving it up to us. We know what causes us to stumble. We know what this flesh is capable of doing. But yet, Paul is writing here. He's leaving it up to us. Cleanse yourselves. Get rid of that old man. Get rid of him. That's not you anymore. You're a new man, a new woman. One thing that I was taught a long time ago, where Jesus says to take up your cross and follow me, the cross was meant for you to crucify the old person and to follow Jesus, and not to follow him in your old way, your old nature, but to follow him in your new nature, which is holiness and fear of God. No, like I said, notice that we are told to cleanse ourselves from what? What does it say in 2 Corinthians 7:1? Go ahead. Okay. So we are to cleanse ourselves from all that defilement of flesh and spirit is what it says. Notice this little s. Okay. Our old person. And perfecting what? What does it say? Perfecting what? Holiness and the fear of God. Perfecting it. When you perfect something, you're actually putting it into practice. Okay? Right? Am I right? You actually practice that. So what you're doing here is you're putting the old flesh, the old spirit, behind you. Letting it die. And you're perfecting holiness. And you're perfecting fear also. So you see, it's sort of a form of worship, as I said. So fearing God is necessary to live a holy life. Would you agree? So keep a finger there and turn to Ecclesiastes 3:14. Ecclesiastes 3:14. I believe it's after Proverbs. Mm-hmm. Everyone there? That's a hard one to find. I even had trouble with that one. I know that everything God does will remain forever. There is nothing to add to it, and there is nothing to take away from it. For God has so worked that men should fear him. So what's he telling us here? What's he telling us? Yeah, that. Exactly right. You know, we can't understand God's complete plan for us. But he does have a plan for us, is what he's saying here. And we can't understand. So why don't we just go ahead and give up that old self, crucify that old self, give it up, and follow him? Hey, it's nothing but blessings from here on out once we do that. It's nothing but good for each and every one of us, right? So give it up. That's what he's telling us. Give it up. Don't remain there. Go now. Turn back to 2 Corinthians 6, right there on that same page if your Bible's like mine. And look at verses 16 through 18. 2 Corinthians 6:16 through 18. So what we just learned in Ecclesiastes, look what is said here. Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Anybody know? What agreement does it have with?
None.
None whatsoever. For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. And I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. So you see the blessings? You see the blessings once we give that old person up? Just give him up. is what the Lord's telling us to do. So, you know, we can either, he's leaving it as a choice for us to do it. It's either we remain in our old self and do the same old things that we've been doing all along, sin, or we give that all up and receive blessings and glory from the Lord. Okay? That's the promise of it. So everyone knows that there's a future judgment coming, correct? Everybody knows that, right? There's no escape from it. And besides, why do we want to escape from it? We want Jesus to judge us because he judges rightly. He knows. Now, if I judge myself, I say, Lord, don't let me into your kingdom. That's my judgment. But my Lord, my God, sees my heart. He knows where I'm at. He knows my shortcomings. He knows how far I can be pushed. He knows all that. So I want him to judge me. And because I know that his judgment will be righteous. Okay? Look at 2 Corinthians, since you're there. 5:10. Just turn the page. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So there's rewards for us. There's rewards for us once we give the old person up. Totally give him up. Okay? Stop complaining. Stop complaining. That angers our Heavenly Father. Right, Herb? We're in Judges. That's why we know that. In the book of Judges at the Tuesday night Bible study. So from my studies that I read about David, there were two things. You know, David was a giant killer, right? There was two things that David feared. One of them was the words that came out of his mouth, because he asked God to place a guard over his mouth. And the other thing that David was fearing, sorry, the throat's getting dry, was God taking away the Holy Spirit from him. That was his fear. Okay? And God can do both. Just think about it. He can do both. He can either place the guard over your mouth, or he can take away the Holy Spirit from you. He's that powerful and can do that. You've heard or have read that our God is a consuming fire. Everybody's read that. Everybody knows that, correct? Remember the day of your salvation? How you burned? You wanted to tell everybody what happened to you? Remember that? But it wasn't too long that burning just started to go down to an ember. It started, for some reason, it just started to cool down. After I shared with you guys last week what happened to me when I went back to work that following week, how some of my fellow workers had noticed a difference in me and had noticed that I quit smoking. And they wanted to know what happened. I told them. And they just stood like with their jaws open. And I heard one of them say, well, we'll see, you know, because I work with them every day. So, but yeah, they just couldn't believe what had just taken place in my life. What happens is that this fire that we have starts to cool down a little bit. And there's a reason for that, okay? You, like me, probably wondered what's happening. Why is this happening? Like my dad used to say, son, you're going off half-cocked. And he said, you need to be fully cocked when you're going to go out there. So, that was my dad's view of it. So we weren't fully equipped is what it was, okay? We lacked the love that only Jesus could provide. And by the Holy Spirit, that love, okay? So we thought, how do I maintain that fire? At least I did. I wanted to know, how do I maintain that? Turn to Hebrews 13:1-6. Hebrews 13:1-6. Let love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this you have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourself also are in the body. Marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is not to be defiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Like the song we just sang a while ago. So what we're seeing here in this scripture, part of our preparation for spreading the gospel, it starts with love for one another. That's where it starts. And if we don't have that, then we fall back into the same thing that the Lord just saved us from. So that's what he's telling us, is let love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. So this is part of the preparation that has to take place. So what else do you see in these verses? What else do you see in these here in Hebrews 13? Look at verse 5. It says, make sure your character is free. Does anybody have a different translation than that?
Conduct.
Yeah. Make sure your conduct is free from the love of money. Being content with what we have. Okay? So there's more in there too. He's saying, remember those who are in prison. Some of them are in there unjustly, as we all know that. And some of them deserve exactly what they got. But in prison, they've given their life to the Lord. So be hospitable also to strangers. So that's part of the preparation for each and every one of us. Go back to 1 Peter, where we're at in verse 1, or not verse 1, chapter 1. And look at verse 22 and 23. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love for the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring word of God. So you see, he's telling us again, our love has to be continued. But here he's added fervently. What does fervently mean? Yeah, compassion. Passion. With passion that we're supposed to love one another. It's that fire, again, is built up inside of us from the very first time that you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. So once again, if we are fervently in love with one another, then that fire is burning hot. Very hot. And we'll see some more of that here in just a minute. Again, what do you see in these verses, in these two verses right here? What's being mentioned? Notice the first part. Yeah. What about obedience? The first part. He says, since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls. Okay? So obedience. And that's what causes that sincere love for each other, is being obedient to the truth. And it's like what we're reading about purifying ourselves. You know, it's very, very important that we have to be mature if we are going to win any spiritual battles in our life. And the maturity comes is by knowing what God has got for us in this Bible, in His Word. That's the only way spiritual maturity is going to take place, is by knowing this and putting it into action, as we learned last week. So turn over to 1 Thessalonians 4:1. That's Colossians, after Colossians. 4:1. Okay, finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus, that as you receive from us instructions as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you do what? What's it say? Huh? Yours says know the commandments? No. In 4:1. What's it say? It says excel still more. Yeah. Excel. Excel in it. Excel in this love that we have for one another. Excel in it. Okay? Look at 9 and 10 also in chapter 4 here. Now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed you do not practice it toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia, but we urge you, brethren, to do what? Yeah, again, excel more in the love that we have for one another. What does that mean? What does that mean about excelling more in love? I mean, Manny, I love you. I really do. So how would I just, is it just words? Or he's looking at me like, those were empty, Gary. Those were empty words. Those were empty words. So how would I excel? How would I excel my love for my brother Manny?
Put it into action.
Put it into action. You got it right. And my action was say, I can meet your needs. I can help you when you're in trouble. I can be there for you. So I say, Manny, behold your brothers and sisters. See? And that's what the Lord is telling us, that we should fervently love one another, be there for each other. Yeah. And we are. We are. So he's told us twice to excel still more in the love that we have for one another. And it's more than that. It's more than just meeting each other's needs. It really is. It's more than just a pat on the back and asking, how are you, or something like that. You know, that's small talk. The true action is what Jesus said. And Herb's heard me say this many, many times. Jesus teaches us that no greater love does one have for his brothers than to give up his life for them. That's the excelling part. Go ahead. Yeah. Encouraging. Encouragement. You got it. And that's what the Word of God does. And that's what we need to do for each other, especially, you know, we do not want to talk behind a brother's or sister's back or anything like that. But to always lift them up, to always point out the good things, because there's nothing, we've been changed. The only thing that's left is good in us. And that good is Jesus in us, the hope of glory. That's Him. So that's all good. So let our love and worship be pure and true, not to please ourselves, but Jesus who has saved us. Take the Lord. Thank the Lord for judging you. And don't be ashamed. Don't be cowardly when you see the Lord coming back. Okay? There's nothing to be afraid of. Like I said, His judgment is true, is just, and we want that. We want that in our life. So don't be ashamed to be judged by God. I know it hurts. It hurts. But it goes away. And what is replaced is nothing but joy and love for one another. So that's the lesson here that that Peter has laid out. This is the battle plan that Peter has laid out for these Gentiles that are being scattered from this region. And there's going to be more. So the encouragement for practice this week is Colossians 3. If you'll turn over there, please. It's a few pages back. Look at verses 12 through 17. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Behold all these things. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of your Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. So there it is in a nutshell. Any questions? Any comments?